I'm Jay Moran.
I'm Bridget Jaipal Valenza.
I'm Thomas O'Neill White.
We need to get together and let our voices be heard.
This is What's Next. A dedicated hour to have important conversations about the issues facing the marginalized and underrepresented communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario.
If we're going to have some real healing, we've got to have space to tell some uncomfortable truth.
What's Next continues our mission to discuss race,
equity,
and the common concerns of Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
Welcome to What's Next this morning, and today we're going to talk about women in construction. Marie Patton with us. Marie is the Vice President of the National Association of Women in Construction in Buffalo and also Director of Operations and Safety at Active Workforce. Marie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jay.
Well, there is so much to talk about here. As a matter of fact, let's maybe just start things off. I think if I've read my statistics right, in 2020, about 1 in 10 construction jobs in the United States belong to women, for lack of a better term. But right off the bat, I'll just ask you, it could be a lot more than that, couldn't it?
It could be. Yes, absolutely, it could be. There are so many openings in construction, everywhere from being in the field to being construction adjacent, construction support, safety. There's really a lot of potential for somebody to have a really great career in construction.
And so from what we do hear about the job shortages, but the shortages of candidates for a lot of these jobs, that's real.
Absolutely real. Yes, absolutely real.
Companies are looking for people.
Every day.
What's the disconnect, though? It sounds like, there's opportunities there. And we can maybe talk about compensation as we move through this as well. But there's opportunities in this field, and yet they're not being filled. What do you see as the disconnect then?
I feel like a lot of potential employees don't realize that the jobs are out there. Also, when it comes to women in construction, I feel like a lot of they have a lot of influence from males in their life. I talk to younger girls who tell me that their boyfriend doesn't like that they want to go into a career with a bunch of guys.
Mm.
Or their father doesn't feel like they're strong enough to work in construction. The hours are early. So, for some reason, there's this perception out there somewhere that women don't like to get up early, which is really silly. But there's a lot of barriers, I feel, for women, especially.
Right.
As far as what society expects from them.
Let's talk about some of those barriers and take the perception and break down the perception into reality. First, let's just start with you and your journey into this. You're here talking for both your company and also for the National Association as well, but you found your way into the world of construction. How did that come about?
I did. I want to impress upon everybody that, it's okay if your life takes different turns.
Right.
It's going to happen. And I think a lot of people don't realize that it's just something that you have to work through and you have to reach out to your resources, right? So I graduated from high school and I went to Buff State to become a high school history teacher. That's what I wanted to do. My life took a different turn.
Okay.
Life happened. I ended up becoming pregnant with twins.
Mm.
So I was
congratulations on that
thank
one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
it was a lot of work. And so I, obviously couldn't continue my studies at Buff State. I went into the veterinary field. I became a vet tech for a long time, and that actually was a lot of really long hours, Saturdays, Sundays. So you don't really get a break there. So it was difficult. It was becoming increasingly difficult for me to try to get, childcare, things like that. And I found a company after I had my last son, I decided I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. And I had been working for a company that placed construction labor, the one that I'm working for in a different iteration of it.
Right.
And I decided I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. So after 2 years of watching Sesame Street and all those fun programs that we see on PBS,
right.
I said, I can't do this anymore. reached out to the company that I'd been working with, and they placed me with an industrial demolition company.
Okay.
I started out part-time as a receptionist. Somehow I got drawn into their safety program.
Mm-hmm.
And I became the safety coordinator. So I set up things like fit tests because we had a lot of welders. We did deconstruction, not detonation. So we had a lot of welders that were employed for us. So I started to get into, you know, different safety trainings and fit tests. And I was able to travel a little bit with them, go on job sites. And then essentially management changed and I was not able to go out on job sites anymore because they didn't feel like it was safe for me to be on job sites with a bunch of men.
May I ask you this? What was it like the first time you walked onto a job site? Again, like you said, the deconstruction of or breaking down of these structures.
So I was lucky enough to have a very good mentor.
Okay.
He was a good old boy from Texas. And he was 70-ish years old when I was, and this is 15 years ago. And he basically, you know, took me under his wing and said, just stick next to me, you'll be fine. But it's very intimidating to walk onto a job site, especially a busy job site, because there's all kinds of things going on. With demolition, you know, you have people that are detaching all of the utilities. You have people that are moving cranes around. You have people that are erecting cranes. And that's, you know, not to mention all the people that are on the ground, okay,
right,
and all the people that are on the radio. So it is a little bit intimidating, and it was a little bit scary, but taking that first step was also really thrilling.
Oh, really?
Because I felt like I think I finally found where I want to be.
That quickly?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were convinced that you wanted to leave the office behind and be out on these sites.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how did that expand for you then? So then you started traveling. You started going around to different sites around the country.
I did. I heavily in Texas and Louisiana, and also West Virginia, and then I, like I said, management changed, and I felt myself hitting that glass ceiling.
Okay. All right.
Where I could see where I wanted to be, but I just was not able to make it there for different reasons, management reasons.
Sure.
So I ended up at a safety supply company. I was in their training department, and I got to do a lot of training with different construction companies, got to make a lot of really great connections, and I eventually became their corporate compliance representative. And then in August of 2019, the company that I'm with now, one of the owners called me and said, hey, you know, we have to bump up our operations in Las Vegas. I have to move out there. Can you come and run our Buffalo office?
Mm.
Without hesitation, I said, absolutely yes.
Okay. All right.
Because I could foresee, I knew that they were a great company. I knew that they
This is Active Workforce where you are
yes.
now, right
yep.
now. Okay.
Yeah, I knew Active Workforce is a great company. They had a lot of long-term clients, and I felt like I had enough safety knowledge and training to be able to take Active Workforce to that next step and offer, because we are a woman-owned business, do only construction placement from labor to highly skilled carpenters, drywallers, you know, plumbers, HVAC, we get into all of it. So there was a real need for our employees to make sure that they had the access to safety training. And that has spread now to our clients. I do site safety audits for some of our clients. I work with some community-based organizations that offer building trades training programs, and I offer their OSHA 10 classes in construction so that they're outfitted to come out of that training course with everything that they need, including the safety aspect of it.
So you go to, like you said, these community-based organizations. The idea is when you do that you're – this is as much not only just to train people on safety in these situations, but it's also a bit of a recruitment effort as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really good resource. And I feel like a lot of the companies that I work with may not know that this resource is out there.
Right.
I placed somebody 2 years ago with a large construction company, and he was hired right out of one of the building trades training program with 716 Ministries. They come out with basic tools. They come out with an OSHA 10, basic knowledge of the mechanics of construction. And he is now a site foreman for them.
Do you know how much do you know about that journey from starting off to that, that the 2 years to a foreman? I mean, I how did this individual? I mean, what did they, maybe did the, how did they start? I guess is what I'm curious about. And I mean, I obviously weren't there every day to see their progressive, but I'm just curious how that's quite the ascension.
Yes, it is. It is. I mean, basically, all he did was show up with ambition. He advocated for himself. Because he, you know, he felt like, you know, when he felt like he was getting stuck doing something for too long, he would reach out to me. And I mean, this was far after he was my employee.
Okay.
He reached out to me and said, I think that I need to go somewhere else. I said, well, what's going on? And it turns out he felt like he was stuck doing one task the entire time that he'd been there.
Okay.
And I said, well, I can certainly talk to somebody for you, but I feel like it's important that you need to talk to somebody as well. So we figured out who he should talk to, and he did talk to them. I made a follow-up phone call with that person, and now, you know, they moved him up. And a lot of times, the management on site gets so busy doing everything that they have to do,
right,
because they have to wear so many hats. They don't always have a full-time safety coordinator. They're being the foreman. They're in charge of time and materials. They are in charge of safety. They're in charge of, you know, keeping track of everybody's hours. They wear a lot of hats, and they often don't realize that things are getting a little stale for their employees.
Right.
You know, and they don't always recognize that there's an employee that shows up every day on time that wants to do more, that wants to learn more, that wants to perfect their skills in carpentry, drywall, concrete, what have you.
It's interesting that you mentioned that advocating for yourself, because we had a conversation before we went on the air, and I want to see if we can't get this into a larger part of it. But, you know, we talked about, you know, 1 in 10 of construction jobs are filled with women. I believe the numbers are even less when it comes to Black Americans. I mm-hmm. think maybe 1 in 20 mm-hmm. is the case. And we talked also a little bit about trying to break down some of these walls. But it's interesting what you say about that. You say advocating for yourself on the site inside these companies is the key to getting not only, you know, ahead, but also job satisfaction, it sounds like, as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And when I do classes, I teach OSHA 10 in construction, OSHA 30 in construction to a very diverse group of students. And I always like to chit-chat a little bit, get to know them
right.
during breaks and lunch and things like that. And I always try to impress upon the class, listen, when you get out onto that construction site, and I'll show them pictures like that I have taken at construction sites. I'll
okay.
show them pictures, show them what's going on, show them videos of things that happen at construction sites just to make it a little more real to them. But I always stress that it's so important to advocate for yourself. If you feel like you are not doing enough, you're not learning enough, you need to take that to somebody on the site that can be an advocate for you. But it's important to advocate firstly for yourself. You have to know your worth. Use your voice.
And I'm going to also make the imagine that there are mentors waiting to happen. We talked also, and I think I mentioned this, my dad was a construction mm-hmm. worker. He didn't find a great student in me. But when I was interested in those rare occasions, he was always more than willing to and excited to help me learn which end of the hammer was the one to use.
Mm-hmm.
But is that the case? Do you find that with a lot of the people that are on these sites that, I mean, you know, obviously they got to concentrate on the work and being safe mm-hmm. and getting it done, but they're more than willing to help out?
Yes. Yes, they're more than willing. Sometimes they need a little push
mm-hmm.
Because they're not always sure if that's something that's allowed. But through NAWIC, we've been reaching out to the McKinley High School students, BOCES High School students, and trying to let them know, you know, we consider us a resource. We are now in your network. We can guide you to wherever you feel like you need to go. So in that aspect, we are offering that mentorship through NAWIC.
Right. And you're of NAWIC, or the National Association of Women in Construction. You've just got done with a week of events,
we
right?
We did, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about a few of those events and how what they were all about and how successful they were.
Oh, it was such an exciting week. We always do. So we've been, for the past 3 years now, we've been celebrating WIC Week. And it's been growing. The first year, I think we only did a coffee hour and a job site tour. Last year, we did a coffee hour. We did the Girls in the Trades Day. and a job site tour. And then this year we had 3 full days of events. So we had our kickoff is always the coffee hour. We had at Birchfield Penny, which is a beautiful facility. Mm-hmm. And that was really a nice change for us because we had been having it at 500 Seneca.
Okay.
So, and 500 Seneca is a lovely building. They have a beautiful atrium, but we kind of outgrew it, honestly,
really?
Because
okay.
Our coffee hour is very successful. We had over 130 people at the coffee hour this year.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was including McKinley students.
Right.
And I think there were 15 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that every WIC week to kick it off. And then Wednesday this is our second year of doing the Girls in the Trades Day with the female students from BOCES. And there were 26 of them. And that was the same average as last year. So they followed. And they weren't all the same students, but there were some that were, you know, seniors this year, and they came back because it was a really exciting program last year. So we bring them in to Danforth. We do a tour of the fab shop for them. We have panel discussions with NAWIC members, you know, of different, as I said, our members range everywhere from tradeswomen to business owners. This year we focused on construction adjacent. So we had a construction lawyer. We had someone that worked in construction sales. We had a woman that ran her own business doing placement for project managers, estimators, architects. So a little higher level than what I do at Active Workforce.
Okay.
And the girls were great, great group, super excited. We finished off with a job site tour for them. At the end of the day, they went over to UB South to see a job site in action. And honestly, you know, they were so much more engaged after that job site tour and even after the panel discussions than they were in the morning.
Really?
I mean, I was a teenage girl. I know what it's like to. Yeah. I mean, you know, okay, I got to go on this field trip and figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. But they like, you could see them blossom and really engage with people. I had girls coming up to me asking me for my business card because they want to talk about going into safety, which I'm always thrilled about because
sure.
I hardly ever get anybody who wants to go into safety. So yeah, that was great. And then Thursday we did our big, this was the first time that we'd done it. We partnered with the Office of Federal Contractor Compliance Control and Workforce Buffalo and had an intro to construction careers at Buffalo Educational Training Center, or BETSE, as it's commonly known.
Okay. A one-day event?
It was a one-day event. All right. Yep. We started at 10 in the morning. We had a fall demonstration trailer outside, so the students that came in the morning got to see that, and we had, oh gosh, I think 4 or 5 different schools that showed up.
All right.
And a ton of vendors, over 30 people that tabled that wanted to spread the word about, you know, welcoming more women into construction. So we had the unions there. We had the community-based training organizations were there. We had architectural firms there. We had construction companies there, government agencies, OSHA, OFCCP. They had tables, and it was a lot of really great information.
And you saw engagement. You saw these young people
mm-hmm. yes.
getting interested.
Yeah, I actually moderated a panel of women in construction, and it was a full room, and they had great questions for the panelists.
What were some of the questions?
Basically, just, you know, kind of how you got started out. One of the girls had a great question, you know, have you ever had any issues on a job site where somebody wanted you off the site because you were a woman?
Hmm.
You know.
Was the answer yes?
You know what? Surprisingly, it was not.
Really?
It was not. And I feel like, I mean, I've been in construction for a long time. I've seen a lot of things, good, bad, and different. And I feel like there has been a lot of growth. Do we need to do a little bit more? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There are still, you know, there's still some disparity out there. There's still a lot of miscommunication. There's still a lot of people that think it's okay to say certain things that they really should not because it's rude and basically it's against the law.
Right. That,
yeah.
Workforce. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Workforce issues. No doubt about
yeah.
that. Wow. That's really interesting. Well, here, let's get into the possibilities of compensation. I think this is important
mm-hmm.
as well, right? You know, I mean, it's interesting. You're talking about your days, you know, working as a veterinary assistant, right? And
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking you're working all these long hours. Could I maybe also intuit that maybe you weren't making all that much money either.
I was not making all that much money. I was not. And at the time, I was a single mom. Right. So, you know, my penny stretched. And, you know, one of the stories that I like telling as an advocate for myself, I went to the county for child care assistance. Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted because I got this great job at a veterinary hospital. And all I needed was child care assistance so I could pay somebody to watch my twins while I worked. And I was going to be making $5 too much.
Wow.
So I said, okay, well, I'll just go down the hall and I'll apply for everything. Everything the county can give me, everything the state can give me. I'm just going to sit at home and take care of my kids.
Okay.
Backdoor conversation was had, and somehow I got the child care assistance.
Wow.
Very important to advocate for yourself because, you know, just because something is written on paper or somebody's telling you something doesn't always mean that it's the truth.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Well, you've got quite a story, Marie. I mean, do you find, though, that in general, women also still have to advocate a little bit more for themselves
yes.
on these sites and in these companies?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Absolutely. On the flip side of the coin, though, Jay, I have clients that call me and say, do you have any females available?
I bet.
Because they tend to be more responsible. They tend to be more detail-oriented.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know the person in my household who has all of those skills and a lot more. There's no doubt about that. Marie Patton is with us today on What's Next. She is the vice president of the National Association of Women in Construction here in Buffalo and also the director of operations and safety at Active Workforce. And there's so much to get into here, but we've also had a little conversation off mic conversation about the stadium project. We'll call mm-hmm. it the stadium project, mm-hmm. the new Buffalo Bills stadium that's being built in Orchard Park. You have been at that site.
I was, yes.
What is it like?
It's busy.
Yeah.
It's busy. We were treated to a tour during WIC Week. Our board of directors was treated to a tour. And I know that everybody thinks it's just a big ditch that people are going to fall into, but there's a lot of work going on. There are over 800 people on site every single day with varying shifts, you know, starting at 6 in the morning, sometimes till 6, 7 o'clock at night, because they're really pushing to get it done. And according to the person that gave us the tour, they are actually ahead of schedule.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Well, that's going to be encouraging, especially for a team that might have to pick up the cost overruns.
Yep. And I did see a lot of women in construction there.
Is that right?
Unfortunately, I couldn't get into the pit to talk them into joining NAWIC.
Well, maybe they'll hear the call now for sure. And obviously, a lot of equipment on scene.
Oh, yes.
A lot of heavy equipment still.
They have, oh, my gosh. I think I counted 6 cranes.
On
the site, yes.
Wow.
On the site. And not only are they working on the stadium proper, but they're also working on, like, behind the field house because of all the utilities. So they have one project manager that is dedicated to just the utility projects at the site.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I already know the answer from you on this, but maybe you can just take it a little further. When you see the level of complexity involved in these sites, like what you're talking about here, I mean, I would have to think for somebody who has a healthy curiosity, it's got to be a very intriguing. There's a part when you get into that field where, again, we start off with the concept of you're going to be the person sweeping up. That's going to be your starting job. But there are all sorts of possibilities when it comes to these sites and what people can utilize their skills to do.
Right. And again, that kind of dials back to advocacy,
mm-hmm.
because I have known people that went to a construction site and maybe they were, sweeping up for a couple of weeks and another contractor would come up to them and say, hey, you know, I'm with such and such company. How do you feel about helping me hang this piece of drywall?
Right.
So that's kind of how, you know, people get sparked to do other things. I have students that will shadow me on my safety audits. And I had a student recently who was an electrical at a BOCES program,
okay.
BOCES Erie 2 in Iroquois. And he was amazed when I took him into a building that I was doing a site safety audit on, because he said, I've never seen a building. I mean, they were down to the studs. Okay.
Okay.
And it's a bigger project. They were down to the studs. And he said, I've never really thought about what the building looks like when you have to take everything out.
Right.
You know, and he was just amazed by the whole site visit. And, you know, and one of the things that I try to encourage people to do, too, is cross train. So if you are in an electrical class and you want to go into electrical, great. Learn how to do drywall, too, because then you don't have to pay a drywaller to come in and patch the hole that you just had to
right.
had to knock out of the wall to install an outlet.
Right. That's a great thought on that regard, because, and again, there is all this knowledge out there mm-hmm. at these sites. There's so many different people who have different skills. And again, when it comes to, when you're talking about construction, we always have to keep in mind that we've mentioned this before, there are big companies doing big jobs.
Yes.
There are small companies doing small jobs as well. Again, maybe just take us through that understanding of what's available and where people can go with these careers.
Oh, I wouldn't even know where to start, Jay. There is so much going on. I mean, we have all of this great architecture, all of these great old buildings.
Yes.
And I've been in Buffalo my entire life. I've traveled to a lot of places, but Buffalo will always be my home.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I plan on living for the rest of my life. And I've seen the cycle. You know, I've seen the cycle of, you know, the West Side where I currently live. You know, that was a place where nobody wanted to be, and now everybody wants to be there,
right?
Because they're finally embracing all of these grand old houses. 500 Seneca is a perfect example. I remember going in there, and before they started redoing that building, and the atrium that is so beautiful right now was literally like the world's worst swimming pool. I have no idea what was in there. It was gross. It was disgusting. It was just 30 feet of water and garbage.
Oh.
So to see that whole process take place, to see the transformation of that building, really fantastic. And that fascinated me. And that is not going to stop anytime soon, you know, the transformation of all these beautiful old buildings. So there is a lot of work out there.
Right.
Just because you don't get called up for the stadium, just because you don't get called up for the 33 project, doesn't mean that your construction career is over or it can't start.
Right.
There's plenty of work out there.
And I think we also had a conversation that I when it comes to these bigger projects, the downside when you're a smaller company is, you know, you might be too small, not because you can't do the work, but you just might not have the financial capacity, because there is a financial consideration for these smaller contractors on these jobs.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when active workforce goes on site, we have to carry a certain amount of insurance. And a lot of the smaller companies just can't carry that amount of insurance, especially for these bigger jobs. But it might be good for like a 500 Seneca project, or, you
right.
know, an East Side building project, or the 42 North Brewery that's opening at the old Tent City. You
right.
know, there are developers working on every corner of Buffalo and beyond. You know, there's things going on in the suburbs, too.
And I'm also very curious about these, you know, these courses that people take, that like building and trade courses, right, that are available in a lot of different places, which, again, it totally surprises me where these are showing up.
This is why I love my job,
yeah.
because I get to talk about these places that I found that are wonderful resources for the community. There are at least three that I work with. There's a building trades training course, and not only building trades, but other training courses. You know,
okay.
So if somebody wants to go into customer service, somebody wants to go into nursing, Catholic Charities has programs. 716 Ministries has a building trades training program, and they have actually worked on a lot of their own buildings. So what they do is they train a class to, you know, on the mechanics of construction, building trades, and then they put them to work on their own projects on the East Side first, you
right.
know, and then, you know, if they want to move on, if they want to find something else, they have employer partners that they can reach out to say, hey, you know, this person has showed up every day, knows what they're doing, has their OSHA 10, try them out for a little bit.
If you can, take me through then what those courses, like you said, you kind of generalize it, but mm-hmm. let's get a little specific about what exactly, you know, you're learning at it. I mean, you know, I know you've got a lot of other things going on. You're not necessarily sitting there watching what goes on, but, you know, what are you learning when you go to these courses. I mean, we had that conversation about the 77-year-old woman that mm-hmm. was taking the course, which is is mind-blowing. But it's interesting that there's an opportunity to utilize this in so many different applications. So what are they learning?
Absolutely. So the instructors are very well versed on the many aspects of building trades. So mm-hmm. the students learn a little bit of plumbing, a little bit of electrical, carpentry, drywall, you know, basically anything that you would need to know to either go into a career or to fix things on your own at your house. So 716 and Catholic Charities, very basic. Assembly House, the SACRA program at Assembly House, a little more fine-tuned just because it's a construction arts-related program.
Okay.
So they focus a lot on rehabbing older buildings, rehabbing older furniture, the more artistic aspect
right.
of
okay.
it. I actually had one of their instructors redo a table leg for one of my friends on a 150-year-old table that she had been holding up with books.
Whoa.
For years, this table was held up with books. And I finally said to her, I'm like, look, I know this guy that can probably help you out with this for a donation to wow. Assembly House.
And that's how that worked.
And that's how that worked, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, the students that I've met, the stories, that I cry at almost, and I try to attend as many graduations for these programs as I can.
Oh.
And some of the stories that these students give, some of the heartfelt gratitude that they express during graduations is just, it's so inspiring. And I've cried at several graduations because I know these students, you know, and I spent at least two full days with them when I do their OSHA 10 and construction courses. I haven't known them for over the whole 12 weeks. So to hear their stories put in such a heartfelt way is really just inspirational.
Would you mind sharing some of those stories? I mean, we also talked about how stories are a big part of the way you go about training.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be interested to hear about some of these stories. I mean, it sounds like you're seeing, you know, life transforming moments.
Absolutely.
With these people.
Absolutely. I mentioned before that a lot of these students come from a very diverse background, very different backgrounds. So you may have single mothers in the class. You may have single fathers in the class. You may have people that have, you know, recently gotten out of being incarcerated. So there's, you know, oh my gosh, so many stories. I couldn't really single out one. But, you know, there was at Assembly House, one of the first graduations that I attended there, there was a woman who had been addicted to drugs.
Okay.
And so she went through a drug treatment program, and her counselor suggested that she go through this building trades training program. And just hearing her story and about how she was at the lowest point in her life, and that day of graduation was like her 6 months out of drug treatment program. Mm. The day of graduation was 6 months, her 6 month anniversary, and she just was so grateful to be alive, to be able to learn this and to be able to take this and make a new life for herself, this training that she's got, and make a new life for herself.
Wow.
And I, funny story, I actually ran into her recently.
Really?
Yeah,
how's she doing?
She's doing great. She's doing great. She had a baby.
Okay.
She's doing great. She's still working. She's doing side jobs. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
In construction-related jobs?
Yeah, and construction related. And that's the great thing about going to these building trades training programs. I mean, not that I'm advocating for, you know, people to go out and do this necessarily, but like
maybe you are.
Maybe a little bit. I mean, for instance, if your mom needs a new window,
right,
you have the skills to do that
right
now. You know, if your uncle wants to pay you to put in a set of stairs, you have the skills to do that now.
Yeah, self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
so.
Really...
I'm not advocating for, you know, off the books work, but
of course
friends and family. You know, now you have the skills to do this.
Right, helping yourself as
well.
Yeah,
and helping yourself. There's a woman that I still keep in touch with that graduated 2-ish years ago from the 716 Building Trades Training Program. She came to me after graduation. I set her up with a larger construction company, and her story was fascinating to me. She told me that when we were on a break, she said, well, the reason I got into this program is because I'm living with my mom and my sister who is disabled, and our landlord wouldn't come over and fix the stairs.
Mm.
So I went on YouTube, watched a video, went and got the stuff I needed, and fixed the stairs. And I thought, wow, I'm pretty good at this, she right. says to me. I'm pretty good at this. Maybe I should take some training courses for this. Right. And she ended up at the 716 Building Trades Training Program.
Are there, and that brings us to an important question, are there finally certain talents? I'm going to stretch, I'm struggling with my words here, which is not unusual, that finally, in the end, you're if you have this type of, these types of talents, this type of aptitude, that's the word I was looking for, this is the place for you? Or do you sense that maybe it's more adaptable than that, than there really are opportunities for everybody?
I feel like a lot of people discount going into the building trades because they feel like it's not achievable.
Right.
Because, you know, they have never handled a tool, a power tool before. That can all be learned. Hmm. Honestly, that can all be learned. You know,
and we know somebody who can help with the safety aspect of that.
Exactly,
as well.
yes. If you ever feel unsafe, just call me. So, you know, I feel like that's kind of an open-ended and an interesting question.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever got asked that question before.
But it's worth exploring.
Absolutely worth exploring. I mean, the 77-year-old woman who learned everything else in her life,
right.
and now she just wants to learn how to fix things around her house, you know, to have the skills to be able to fix things for herself around the house. You know, you don't have to use these building trades training programs as a career, but it's a great option.
Right.
You know, I had a student into active workforce recently who failed out of college. Found out a few things about his life that he was unhappy with, basically was at his lowest point. He felt like he was at his lowest point. And my policy at Active Workforce is we're not just going to put people on a job site because we need people on a job site. So we will take, you know, people that look like they're struggling. I mean, I'm a mom. My senior recruiter's a mom. We have that mom energy going on. So we can tell when people are struggling a little bit. So we will steer them towards one of these building trades training programs. Come back to me when you have some confidence, basically, is what we're telling them.
I see. Okay.
Because sometimes that's all it takes is just a little bit of confidence. Like, okay, the first time you rip a piece of wood with a saw, you're not going to be great at it. But the more you do it, the more comfortable you're going to be. And if you're doing it under, you know, a controlled condition with somebody watching you and guiding you, then that is going to build up your confidence to do it 17 more times.
Thanks for joining us today. This is What's Next on WBFO. More to come right after this.
This is the Buffalo-Toronto Public Media History Bite, bringing you a peek into significant historical events for the week of March 18th through March 24th. I'm your host, Tom Barrich. On March 18th, 1850, Henry Wells, John Butterfield, and William Fargo conducted a business meeting at the Mansion House Hotel on Delaware Avenue in Buffalo. The purpose of the meeting was to establish a credit system for the American people that businesses and consumers could agree on. Upon the success of that meeting, the company was founded and is now known as American Express. The Western New York towns of Cheektowaga, Hamburg, and Eden were all established on March 20th, 1812. And legendary magician and escape artist Harry Houdini gave a performance at Shays Auditorium on March 23rd, 1908. You've been listening to the Buffalo-Toronto Public Media History Bite. Discover more stories about Western New York's past on the Buffalo History Museum's website. Learn more at buffalohistory.org. For Buffalo-Toronto Public Media, I'm Tom Barrich.
Watch great videos produced by your public media stations online. Find Buffalo-Toronto Public Media on YouTube and check out interviews by our WNED Classical hosts, original productions from WNED PBS, and so much more.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. If you have a story or concern that we should be addressing, email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
We're having a conversation on What's Next this morning with Marie Patton. Marie is the Director of Operations and Safety at Active Workforce. She is also the Vice President of the National Association of Women in Construction in Buffalo. Hey, we haven't talked about the association. This is a big group. I mean, I'm surprised how large this national association is. Tell me about it a little bit.
Yeah, we're kind of a big deal. So NAWIC was started in 1953 with 16 women who were working in Fort Worth, Texas, in construction. Very, very, very rare at that time.
Sure. Oh,
yeah. As you can imagine. And it has grown over the past several decades. We have over 113 chapters throughout the United States and the territories. Buffalo Niagara chapter organized in September of 2020. So, during COVID. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we chartered in January of 2021.
Okay.
And we had, I think, maybe 15 members at first. But over the past 3 years, we have grown to 73 as of March 7th.
73 mm-hmm. women
We actually
here.
Had two new members sign up during WIC Week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's very good.
That's
on that.
How impressive we are.
Yeah. Well, you most certainly are that. Well, here's one of those serious issue questions, though. What about is there a gender pay gap in construction?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yes, absolutely.
Where do we see it? Which levels?
Pretty much everywhere.
Yeah?
Yeah, everywhere. I mean, there's a gender pay gap throughout the United States with every occupation.
Yeah, of course.
I wouldn't say it's any more or less
in
construction, but it's definitely there.
But in a field where there is a need for workers, mm-hmm. shouldn't this be one of those types of fields where, come on in, we need you, we're going to compensate you, but it's not working out that
Absolutely
way?
Absolutely should be. I mean, with construction, you will definitely be making... With no skills, coming fresh out of, maybe a training class, maybe you just worked with your dad and your uncle with their little construction business, you want to get into something bigger, you will not be making minimum wage. You will be making substantially more than minimum wage.
Okay.
But there's still, there's still a pay gap for women, even though I know my company sends people out at the same wages once they get hired on by our client company, maybe... Women will get held back for a little bit, whereas men might get bumped up in pay.
Okay.
By a dollar or more.
It's a problem that's been around for decades,
and
it's probably not going to change anytime soon, I guess, in some regards. But finally, what is blocking that? What is it just a matter of women not being able to get to the job that is valued? Differently on a site, or is
I mean,
it?
HR isn't really my thing. I mean, I feel like I really can't speculate on that. But being that it's not industry specific, I think that speaks a lot to it, because in every industry, every workplace, every work site, there are women that are getting paid less than their male counterparts for different jobs.
Right, and of course there are women. Owned construction businesses.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
How are they doing?
Great.
Yeah?
Great, right. Yeah, I have a friend that is working on the east side. She's got two huge projects going on.
Do you mind?
Huge for her.
Sure, yeah. But
they're smaller storefronts.
Do you mind telling us more about it?
They're in the Broadway Fillmore area. Okay. So again, that next corridor that's opening up. And, that's one of the things that I have been kind of tracking, being a woman in construction. I've been tracking how the Larkin first was a district and Hydraulics was a district, and nobody thought that anything was going to happen down there. And now they're booming with businesses.
Right.
I follow somebody on social media that I'm super excited to her grand opening. It's called Meet and Eat Charcuterie.
Okay.
In Larkin district. And I'm super excited about that because we, as a woman-run organization, as a women's organization, we reach out to those smaller women-run businesses to try to give them some support.
Oh, okay.
So definitely somebody that will be tapping on the shoulder to do one of our events. And I'm just a big charcuterie fan.
And so what do you? So you said you're tracking Broadway Fillmore. What do you
mean? I've been kind of tracking the progress of development in Buffalo. Not in any technical way, certainly, right. But just for my own curiosity,
right.
Because I am naturally curious.
Yes, I can
and
see that.
So I noticed Larkinville, and I worked in Larkinville. I worked in the hydraulic district at 500 Seneca.
Okay.
And now things are starting to spread. Like the whole Niagara Street corridor is blowing up with construction,
right.
And they're redoing all of those beautiful old buildings and homes along Niagara Street. Now we're looking at the East Side, Broadway Fillmore being built up. You know the old, I think it was a Grant's department store on the corner of Broadway and Fillmore, that is going to be housing.
Settlers. Was it Settlers? Or no? I could be wrong.
No, I'm not sure.
All right, well, I'll step down.
It's a really big building on the corner of Broadway and Fillmore. Kitty corner from the Broadway market.
Yes, of course.
I mean, that's going to be a huge project, mm-hmm. And there are smaller projects that are going on in all kinds of different pockets.
Right.
716 Ministries does, they do things in the East Side in the Broadway Fillmore District. Habitat for Humanity is out there working on things. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So there's, so I've been kind of following the progress, and I love to see that from that outside of downtown area now, now all of the different areas that are attached to that area are starting to see some really great development.
Wow. Yeah, it's nice to hear that type of a viewpoint of, mm-hmm. of it, because we do have a tendency to gloss over the idea that all this is happening in Buffalo, but maybe not necessarily in some of these other areas, but you see that differently.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
And, of course, the project at the Central Terminal, I guess the project's not a project yet, but there's going to be some major investment there.
Yeah, they're making some really great strides. And I mean, you've got Eugene Debs Hall that somebody recently developed.
That's
and,
right.
They're open almost every day,
right.
And they have, they have a couple of great people in there that are working on a lot of the community projects.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of community cleanups. They do tree plantings. And I feel like a lot of people kind of miss all of those really optimistic details about Buffalo.
Right.
Because for so long, Buffalonians have been stepping all over Buffalo and treating it badly.
Right, right. It's been a sport for us.
Yes.
We're very good at it.
There's always next year. Isn't that what we say about the Bills?
There's always
next year.
There's always next year. Hey, speaking of next, you've got, I think you've got another event coming up in May, right?
We do,
Tell me about what's happening
now.
We do.
So within our NAWIC chapter, we have several different committees. And we are planning with the Workforce Development Committee, we are planning an event with Assembly House, which is over on Elmwood and Edward.
Okay.
I encourage you, again, to take a look at their website because it's a really fantastic place. They offer a 12-week building trades training program that focuses very heavily on construction-related arts.
Okay.
So we are having an event. It's an evening of construction arts and crafts brews. Community Beer Works is going to be helping us out with this event, and we're hoping to get it's going to be an industry-specific open house
type
of thing.
Industry-specific.
So construction.
Okay. Oh, I see. I got you. Okay.
So they Assembly House through me because I do their OSHA 10 construction training classes, and I also just love the place. That's my favorite part of the job that I have. They reached out to me to see if NAWIC would be interested in partnering with them to bring some more exposure to the programs that they offer, because they not only offer the 12-week SACRA course, but they also offer in the summer, they offer a 4-week course for high school students.
Right.
It's called Model City Builders. So they bring them in, show them how to read blueprints, take them on a bunch of field trips, architecture-related things. They work on a toolbox, and some of the toolboxes that these kids in high school have come up with are fascinating. I can't even use the words to describe it to you, but one of the students made, she's an artist, so she made an art toolbox for herself. And she used a model of a church, so it had the spire,
Okay.
And she used that spire part as a storage for her brushes.
Oh my.
So she's got this thing that comes out and all of her brushes are perfectly stacked inside of there.
Wow.
So they could they really encourage the use of imagination. The adult program that they have, the Society for the Advancement of Construction-Related Arts, one of their first projects is a shadow box. And somehow the director, Dennis, gets, I don't know where he gets all these vintage tools, but vintage tools like you have probably seen in your grandfather's garage or basement.
I've inherited a lot of those.
Yes. So the students each get assigned a tool, right, and they have to do research on it, okay, and then they build a shadow box around it.
All right.
And they are encouraged to use their imagination. So, for instance, there was an old sander that one of the students had made curlicues of wood and attached them and to show how this old sander would work.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not really a surprise knowing some of the people I know in construction, but there is really, it does tend to clasp on to the creative side of people, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I feel like once you start getting into the nitty-gritty of it, and once you start using those power tools and finding out what you can do and finding out what other power tools you can accessorize, right, you really start to think a lot about a lot of creative things, just even around your own home.
Right.
You know, I mean, you take a 12-week construction training course. Granted, you can't, you know, build a grand staircase in a home that you are renting or your apartment if it's a one-bedroom.
Right.
But you could build yourself a bookshelf and make all kinds of great detailed, you know, accents.
Yes, yeah. Accents.
Yeah,
yes,
you can make all kinds of detailed accents.
Right.
And, you know, there's the tool library, which NAWIC is planning on doing another event with over the summer.
Oh, okay.
That is the most wonderful place I've ever been in because they literally have a tool for everything. And it's based on you subscribe, so it's like getting a library card, and then you can go in there and get tools, and all you have to do is return them within a week, and it's free to rent. I mean, you pay for your yearly subscription,
right?
But you can go in there and get up to 5 tools for $30 a year. Fantastic
tool library.
I have trees that I trim every year, and I'm using an old pole saw that was my grandfather's, and eventually this is not going to work for me anymore.
Right.
So I was looking at pole saws online that I'm going to use once a year. They rent them at the tool library.
Right.
So I can go and get one, in a week I can trim all my trees and return it, and I don't have to worry about storing it.
You know, Marie Patton, we've been talking, people, if they've been listening to us for the last hour, they understand your enthusiasm, but we're coming down to our final couple of moments here with you. Make your pitch to women, first of all, to get involved in the National Association of Women in Construction, but moreover, just getting involved in construction and exploring it. Make your pitch for us here.
There is nothing that women can't do, okay? I know that there's that saying out there that says anything a man can do, a woman can do better.
It's the way it works in my house.
But I like to just say there's nothing a woman can't do.
Right.
And if this is something that you feel like is an option for you, then explore it. If you are on the fence about it and you're feeling like, I don't know if I can do it for whatever reason, find somebody that you can talk to about it.
Okay.
Yeah, find somebody that you can talk to about it. You know, we are, as I said, at, you know, 70-plus members. And our website is open to the public.
The website is?
It's NAWICBN.org.
Okay, NAWICBN.org.
Yes. If you Google NAWIC Buffalo, it'll pop up first thing.
Okay, very good. Yeah, very good.
But I can give you that as soon as I get to my...
Oh, that's quite all right. That's quite all right. That's great stuff. Marie, so appreciate your time and your stories and sharing with us. It's been a revelation. There we go. I'm struggling with my words this morning. Thanks so very much.
Well, thank you for having me, Jay. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you letting me spread the word about National Association of Women in Construction and all the great things that we have planned for our Buffalo chapter.
No, lots of excitement, lots of exciting on so many different levels, not only the female involvement in construction, but just the What is happening here in Western New York when it comes to construction. It bodes well, I believe. Marie Patton is the Vice President of the National Association of Women in Construction in Buffalo. She's also the Director of Operations and Safety at Active Workforce. Marie, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you, Jay. It was my pleasure.